It's the 8 for 52 podcast. Here's Bushy.
Episode 29, season 2 of the 8 for 52 podcast. As I go, Bushy with you as always. Natash AWOL as always. But jumping back into the hot seat, Tammy Chu, thanks for joining us.
Hello.
It's going to be a big one. We're going to go through all of last weekend's games, including the Premier League Men's T20 final. It was a cracker here at KCC where we're recording. We're going to look at next week's games. There's only one of them.
Yep.
As we get towards the end of the season. We're running through all the tables as well, let you know who's playing who in which finals, who's going to get relegated. All of that. And then we have a very special Sky Plaza Road. Who's joining us?
Joining us is the captain of the Hong Kong China women's team, Natasha Miles.
Live from Bangkok, where I'll be in a few days' time.
Yeah.
But I'll be there before this podcast comes out, to be honest. Yes, we're going to be talking to Tash and finding out how the team's feeling after their quadrangular series and then the upcoming ICC World Cup Asia qualifiers. That's all to come, so shall we get on with it?
Yep.
Giddy up.
Let's go.
And now it's time for Outs and Ins with all last week's action in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Yes, let's have a look at last weekend's games. And we're going to start with the big one, the Premier League T20 men's final here at Kowloon Cricket Club, where we're recording, as always, Tammy. This was a good one. I went with KCC. You, obviously, went with HKCC.
Yeah.
KCC, though, won the toss without their captain. Jamie Atkinson was unavailable, so Jay Davidson took over the reins for KCC Premier, and it was lucky because he won the toss and he elected to bat, and bat KCC did on the back of Bubba Hyatt. Look at that score.
Crazy.
98 off 46, and unlike last week where he apparently gave a few chances, Bubba gave no chances until he got out on 98.
Okay.
98 off 46, and strike rate of 213, 8 fours, 9 maximums. Sixes. He hit one into the Kowloon Bowling Club.
Oh,
which means up and over the top of what is what, like 40 foot netting into Kowloon Bowling Club as one of his big sixes. So 242 on the board. And the other thing we need to mention, the very late partnership between Zenden Verster and Wakas Baka doing these usual things. Wakas, the pinch hitter, went out there, 3 overs to go, 18 balls.
Mm-hmm.
They scored 63 runs.
Wow.
So they were in the 180s when Wakas went out there. Zenden got himself a half century as well, 53 off 14 deliveries.
Yes, right off like 378.
They're just ridiculous. They were just smashing everything. The last 3 overs were a disaster for HKCC. And to be honest, that's where they lost it. That's where Kinshit Shah, after we talked at the on the broadcast, I talked to Kinshit and he said that is those last overs is where they lost it. And of course, when you bat first, you don't have any fear, especially when you've only got 4 wickets down. You can go smash, smash, smash.
Yeah.
When you've got the same amount of runs to... Because HKCC were ahead on the worm the entire game.
Okay.
Anshuman Rath went out there, smashed a 62 off 32 at just under 200, and they were well in front. They were doing great. But then the wickets started to tumble, and that was the problem for HKCC. And again, did it with the bat, and he does it with the ball. The head coach of KCC, Wakas Bakat, 3 for 18 on top of his 30 off nothing. And the 63-run partnership, he really was in a battle with Bubba to be player of the match because he was just that good. Got to give a shout-out to Farhad Hyatt. 2 reasons. A, I was walking home today up towards my house and he was on a scooter and yelled out at me and, I waved to him. He recognised me as I was walking along the path up in Hoo Man Tin. So I sent hello to Farhad. But he also, 2 for 31, doing what he does. He bowls the death over so beautifully. He's so hard to play. Ateek getting 2 as well. And in the end, KCC won some silverware for some once in this season, winning by 23 runs. And HKCC don't have everything in the trophy cabinet this year, at least, because they've won pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
You went with KJCC, so you have no tips right there, and I have one. I'm ahead for once. As it stands, I think Natesh went with HKCC as well, even though we're not counting. Yeah, I saw his tips. His tips are worse than yours this week.
Yeah,
again, I mean, last week you were a clean sweep. You got every single tip right, and you've started with a donut. Anyway, let's move on to Sunday Elite Div 1, which was on the Thursday public holiday. Diasqua Little Sai won. Tony Turner's up against USRC Elite. Tammy, what happened?
Yeah, USRC won the toss and up to field first. So sending the Tony Turner's to bat.
fold them
41
out.
41 overs. Did they play? No, it's reduced it to 41 overs.
Oh, yeah, but they were
right?
bowled out on the last ball still. So it was reduced to 41, and Tony Turner's got bowled out on 40.6. So all out for 204. 41, Ting Kwong Road. That's achievable.
Yeah.
If it wasn't USRC Elite, who have just had a shocking season. The only thing redeemable for USRC Elite is the Vagabonds are currently still in Div 1 as well. They won't be next season, but Elite, that maybe they can restructure their teams because they've had a bad one, both Premier League and Sunday Div 1. Shout out to the Spin King, the eternal Esad Khan with a 74 off 64. So he scored a third of the runs there for Diaspora Little Saiwan. And chipping in as well, Hussein Rajab with 39 in the bowling. What have we got? Oh, we've got a Michelle.
Ooh, Abbas Mohammed from USRC got fiver.
So they've got a fiver and a Michelle. 5 for 32, mind you, for Abbas Mohammed. And they still lost by... What is that? 60 runs with a DLS.
DLS, yeah.
So Esan Khan also got a 3 for.
And
Munir Dar doing what he does. 2 for 18 off 7 overs at 2.57. The two Eternals get the job done for the Tony Turners. Esan Khan, player of the match. We both went with the Aspidal So One because we knew they were going to win.
Yeah.
Run through the table as it stands, Tammy, for Sunday Elite Division 1.
Sunday League Division 1. So on top of the table is Peck. We've only 10 match played, so...
Look, this one I haven't got corrected. I've got Sunday Elite Div 2 corrected, but this is where we think it stands. I know PAC have to play Scorpions coming up. That's in ins and outs coming up. So they've got at least one more game. But they may have two more games, and they're ahead of the Templars by 1 point, who are a game behind.
Ready, yeah. And then, Templars got, 16 runs with 11 match plays. And then, after that, it's HKCC Scorpion and the OSW Tony Turners, both on 15 points. But HKCC only played 11 games, while the Tony Turners already played 12 games.
Yes, so that means that game, Pack versus Scorpions, vital to see who gets into the final. All three teams are a chance, Pack Elite, KCC Templars and the Scorpions. Tony Turners, they've played out. They're not going to make the final.
Yeah. And then... That's the big gap in between the top four
and
the bottom.
I mean, that's a ridiculous gap, isn't it? The Wanderers, somehow, I heard that they were close to being going down, but at the moment they can't because the Vagabonds are just too terrible this season. I'm sorry, Vagabonds. Bottom of the table, 11 games, 1 win, 9 losses and a washout for 3 points. Even with a game in hand, if you manage to fluke a game, you're only going to get to 5 points. So, Vagabonds, enjoy Sunday Elite Div 2 next season. Yeah, run through the batting.
Betting top of the table from HKCC Scorpions, Shiv Mathur with 433 runs. After that, also from HKCC Scorpions, Kinchit Shah, 405 runs. And then we have Hafiz Khan from PEC, 399 runs. And then Nisaka Khan from HKCC Wanderers, 377. And then Tariq Nawaz from PACC got 362 runs.
So from the top five, no KCC Templars, even though they're sitting in second, but I reckon they might appear when I go through the bowling list. Munir Dar, top of the table, 11 games for 22 wickets doing what he does, but right behind him in just 8 innings, Waqas Barkhat with 20 wickets. Mohammad Gazumpur, who will play for PAC coming up, he's on 19 wickets from his 7 games. Benny Parasinghe from USRC Vagabonds. I do hope he goes across to Elite next year, not down into Div 2. He's too good for that. 10 innings for 19 wickets. And my mate on the motorbike, Farhad Hyatt, 10 innings, 19 wickets. So that's where it stands for Sunday Div 1. Sunday Elite Div 2 has played out. We'll run through the final games. The first one was on Sunday, May 4th. The Dragons versus the India Club Brahmas. We both agreed that we love the Dragons. But with a big butt, a capital B and U and T butt, they were going to get pumped by IC Brahmas. And they did. They went out to bat first. They won the toss, went to bat. 124 for 9. Only one really getting in the runs there, Tammy.
And that's Henry Seal. 35 runs off 107 balls.
Well, that's a nice test innings. 35 off 107 out of 50 overs. Yeah. I'm trying to do the sums on how much of the innings that is. It's about a third. So they put 124 for 9, didn't get bowled out. They played out their full 50, but the Brahmas batting just went bang. Roshan Kumar Yadav got a 49 off 44 and a 40 from 43 for our old mate, the umpire, Shelton De Cruz. They cruise mode, 125 for 2 and 17.3. The bowling, well, I've got to give a shout out. It's all IC Brahmas. Wow. Gurbaj Singh with a 4 for 12 off 10 and an econ of 1.2. Anas Khan, 7 overs, 2 for 19. And Roshan Kumar Yadav with a 1 for 5. Player of the match with that 4 for 12 is Gurbaj Singh. So we both picked the IC in that one. Then to the big one, the massive game. This really, really made a difference on where everybody finishes at the end of the season for Sunday Div 2. Yeah. It was India Club, it was Diaspora of the Siwan Knights up against the Infidels. You and I both went with KCC. I do believe Nitesh went with Diaspora of the Siwan on this one. So KCC won the toss, elected to have a bowl. How did it go for the Knights?
The Knights got they got all the way up to 46.2 overs, got all out for 206 runs.
This is at Mission Road, and it was a full 50 over. Then that's not enough at Mission Road in 50 overs. A few getting some runs for the Knights. Who were they?
Aryan Muhammad got 43 runs, and Preet also got 41 runs.
Young Preet Mangukya in the runs all the time at the moment. But 206 was never going to be enough. They did well with the ball, the Knights, getting 7 wickets for the Infidels. But on the back of Arjun Trivedi's half century, a 55 off 53, they got home with 10 overs to spare. And they get the win. Most important when we go through the table very shortly. We'll talk about Madassar Hussain with a 3 for 40. He has been in the runs, the wickets, so much of late. I don't know. I haven't managed to catch a game of the Infidels yet, but he's on fire. He's so good. He ended up being 12th man for the Premier League team for the T20 finals. Didn't play, but that's the sort of form he's in. And the other spinner, Shayan Puri, getting a 3 for Aryan Muhammad, going with his 43. Got a 2 for 47, but they lost. So Madassar Hussain gets the player of the match. We both got that tipped. Right, this is a correct table, Tammy. I've gone to Cricket Hong Kong China this morning to get this corrected because the Sunday Elite Div 2 table was a mess. But all teams have now played out. They all have the correct 10 games to their names. Hit us with who is a chance to go up to Div 1 next season.
All right, top of the table, India Club Brahmas getting 9 wins and 1 loss in the 10 games, getting 18 points. Top of the table. After that, second and third is KCC Infidels and HKCC Optimists. Both got 15 points.
Yeah, that's how important that game against the Knights was. Had the Infidels lost, Optimist would have made the finals.
Yeah.
As it is, the Infidels, with their superior net run rate, they're up by about 1.1. They get into the final against the Brahmas, and then we get into single figures.
And then, after that, on the fourth place, we've got the OSW Knights, 8 points. And then CSK Dragons, winning 2 games in the season, got 4 points. And then it's the SLCC Lions.
Yeah, that's all we'll say about the Lions. They will stay in Div 2 at the bottom without a win. All right, let's run through the batting table. The cheat code, Sahal Malvankar, with his devil-numbered 666, finishes off the season with an average of 333.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. Ankur Vashishta also got up into the 600s, played more games though. 606 at an average of 75.75. Sulaiman Nassim Butt, 427 at an average of 53. Siegfried Y from the Optimist, he got a century at one point. That's how he got up to 363 at an average of 40. And Akash Yadav from the Brahmas rounding out the top five with 314 runs and an average of 52.33. Tammy, the bowling.
Bowling, top of the table. Niaz Ali from India Cup Brahmas got 26 wickets, which is like 7 wickets more than the second place. And then second place, Madassar Hussain, he's bowling well for KCC Infidels. He got 19 wickets at the second place. And then we've got also from the KCC Infidels, Samir Shahir, 15 wickets. And then for CHK Dragons, Tinley Kitchup, 15 wickets. Also getting 15 wickets, it's
Bitcoin.
Satashi Mukherjee from HKCC Optimus.
Natasha calls him Bitcoin, so we'll call him Bitcoin. Bitcoin. Well done to Saptashi. That's it for Outs and Ins. So we get very much close to the end of the season and the tipping of what's coming up next in Ins and Outs.
Ins and outs next. All the upcoming action in cricket in Hong Kong. Take us away, Bushy.
Just the one game to get through this week. It's a huge one in Sunday Elite Division 1 up the hill on the 11th of May. Pack Elite versus Scorpions. We talked about this earlier when we were going through the table, Tammy.
Yeah.
How important this game is. Pack gets it. They're probably going to finish top of the table, get to choose where they can play the final, which obviously more likely to be Mission Road than anywhere else. If they go down, the Scorpions stay in the hunt with the Templars as well. It's going to be massive. I'm sure Nitesh, when he gets out of his jet lag, is going to go make sure it's broadcast on HKCC YouTube. Who are you going for?
Just because it's playing at HKCC, I'll go for HKCC.
They could be playing at Cam Tin and you'd still pick HKCC. I am going with Pak, because Pak is going to be packed full of their players, all back from Malaysia. They're going to be up for this. That I know for a fact. I was talking to Fiz Khan while we were doing broadcast of the Premier League here. They are so pumped for this game. They think they've got it. They're going to get the Scorpions. The Scorpions are not going to make the final. Ooh. So it's going to be a massive game. I'm going to be watching on while I'm in Bangkok. I'll just put the little video on while I'm commentating and make a mistake. So that's it for ins and outs. Oh, I did forget to mention the tips. So I won by one last week.
Yeah.
So you, as Nitesh, are 120 correct in the season. I'm 118. Obviously, I can't get past you with this one. If Pak wins this one, it'll be one difference when Nitesh joins us. We'll put our tips together for the other games while I'm away. We'll do it not in the podcast, but we'll do it in our little WhatsApp group so we can keep the tips going.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to do it because I'm behind by two. So that's it for Ins and Outs. Sky Plaza Road next. There's the big bird. It's Sky Plaza Road time with the Cricket Hong Kong China women's team on the road. They're in Bangkok. They've just played a quadrangular T20 series in preparation of the massive Asia World Cup qualifiers coming up for the next 2 weeks. I'm jumping on a plane myself. I'll be at Sky Plaza Road on Thursday, heading over there, calling all the Hong Kong China games and others. But first, Tammy, let's have a look at they were in that quadrangular series. Who was in that? That was Q8, Thailand and UAE. Thailand and UAE, top of the table of each of the two groups.
Yeah.
With Nepal being the third and we're in fourth place playing against Nepal. So we don't play these teams unless
we end the Super 3.
We make the Super 3. So let's start. We go back first and then we're going to have a chat with the captain of Hong Kong China, Natasha Miles. So let's have a look. How did we go? First up, who did we play? It was Thailand.
The first game UAE. We play is on the 3rd, and we play against UAE.
UAE, very strong side. They brought in three new players, in fact, but two of them. Michelle Botha used to play in South Africa, and Katie Thompson's a former Yorkshire player.
Wow.
Big team, a very strong team now, with Esha Ozza also doing what she does. But Michelle Botha in this game, first game for UAE, player of the match. How did it go?
Yes, so I think UAE bat first with Esha Ozza, got 30 runs, and then...
We did good in the bowling here. We restricted them under 100.
Yes, I think it was only got 95. 94. And then with like Alison, Carey and Betty picking up wickets, we limit them to 94.
94. Chaseable. I mean, we're not a big side that scores 150, but 94, we've done it against like Nepal and whatever when they're in Entebbe. We went close.
Yes, we were. And then, let's see. We've got some early wickets down, but then Miracle coming at 3rd, getting 43 runs.
And yeah, that top order failed, and when I turned it on watching the game... Ooh, this is during the Premier League? This is during the All-Stars when I was at Mission Road. I was watching both, commentating and watching this game. I thought, right, we're done. We were like 3-0. And Bart Mariko and Yaz and I think Ruchi chipping
Ruchi
in.
Ruchi and then Emma as well, also going to double digit. But we are a bit short.
Six runs short, we were, 88.
Yeah,
we got the lucky 8 for Hong Kong China, but it wasn't lucky for us because we went down by 6. I've heard from those in the team, the bowlers from, especially like Michelle Botha and the youngster, the 18-year-old whose name escapes
Katie
me at
Thompson.
The moment. Not that one. She's not 18. It's Mahesh. Really was bowling some stuff that they just couldn't get the runs off. It was a lot of dot balls, and it restricted Hong Kong to that 88 for six. So went down by six. Michelle Botha was the player of the match with a 26 not out and a 3 for 9. So the next day, we turned around and played another game, and that was against Thailand.
Thailand, yes. And then this time Hong... Oh, no. Thailand bat first.
Yes, they did. Again,
yes.
Hong Kong won the toss, elected to bowl. Thailand, also not a noted big run scorer. They usually are with the ball and in the field restrict teams, but they put on a big score that was probably way too much to start
with. Yeah, I would say, like, top two batsmen, not that much, like 15 and 24, but then third and fourth, which is Nadapapt and Nathakan, both of them 33 and 37, and then it bring up the team to 127 runs.
Yep, 127, that's a big mountain to climb, especially, as I just mentioned, against the Thai bowling lineup, which is impressive. And they restricted us. They only 95 for 8, so we really couldn't get there. Thailand winning by 32. 4 for 15 for Silaporn Laomai. She is so good. She just gets games done with the ball in hand. So then we went on to the third game, and that was against Kuwait.
And this happening this morning.
Yes, it was. We were all watching. Well, you were supposed to be working. Were you not at school working?
It's my free lessons, so I just put the live one.
like when we used to watch movies when I was a kid, they just wheel in the TV because the teacher wanted to do something else. Did you just put the game up on the screen?
Well, I do actually put it up on my computer. And you know what? When I'm scrolling through my Instagram... Mm. And I saw some of the kids, like in the pathway squad, they put a photo that like they were looking at the game and putting their phone in the drawer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not gonna name her. I don't want to put her in trouble.
Yeah,
but
I've got a feeling who it might be. Yes. So we came up against Kuwait. It was a game that, honestly, going into the World Cup qualifiers, we needed to win. Kuwait ranked sixth in Asia. So they're in the group with Thailand, but we probably won't meet them again. But we needed this game just for the confidence boost going into the first big game on the 9th of Nepal versus Hong Kong. How did it go?
Yes, so we are batting first, and well done to Shenxin Shashad, getting 53 runs. And then, as I remember, she got a 6 over her half century, right?
What's my rules in commentary? If you're going to bring up a milestone, do it with a boundary.
Yeah.
And she didn't just do it with a boundary. She went huge through cow corner, flew over the top of the fielder and just kept on going. Got to 53 and then got out.
Yeah. And then coming up, we've got Kerry as well, only getting 21 runs, but her strike rate is 160.
That's what she does. You'll take 21 at that rate every single day.
And then we've got Yasmin coming in at 5, getting 40 runs, not out.
40 runs not out, as I was talking to you today on the WhatsApp group, is now, for women's T20 eyes, Yasmin Dazwani's highest score.
Yes, but she's not happy because she got much higher runs.
She did pre-2019, but that's not how the system works. Those games have been erased from history.
Yeah.
So as it stands, she'll just have to go score a big one again. Don't complain. Just go and go score
even bigger one.
Bigger one. Yeah. Especially in the Asia World Cup qualifiers, because that's when we're going to need it. 40 not out. Beautifully played by Yaz. It was good to watch those late runs getting in there. I think she paired with Dorothea Chan right at the end.
Yep.
Just rotate the strike, get the runs. What did we get up to?
And then Kuwait batting. Yeah.
What do they need to chase, though? What did we score? I can tell you. It's
135 we got.
Yes, we did.
And then when Kuwait's batting, 2 early wickets in the very first over, I believe.
That was Allison, wasn't it? Or was it? No, it was
Ikra. Yeah. It should be a stumping and a court. Yeah. And then third is Mariam Omar. She got all the way up to 65. Also, the fourth batsman.
Yeah, that's a big score.
Santhi, 29. But after that, no one going to support Mariam Omar. And then with our bowling as well, we limited them in 110.
Yeah, we did. We got the win, 25 runs. A few things I took from this game. The batting was great. They didn't bowl Q8 out, and that's what I would have liked to see. Look, it looks like they rested Betty. She didn't play this game. And still no Marion Bibby back in the side. We'll see what happens. I'll talk about that on the ICC commentary when we get to Thailand. I'm not sure what's going on there. She hasn't played a game for a while. That's my only downside. They didn't clean up Q8. They let them get up over 100. And Q8 is a team that the likes of Thailand and UAE absolutely thrashed. Thailand beat Q8 by 6 wickets, but they chased it down in 13.2. And who's the other team? UAE. They had a huge win, 81-run victory over Q8. So that's where it stands. If we get to the Super 3, this is what we're playing against. And if those two teams can do that to Q8, we kind of needed to do that as well. We really should have got them out for 60, 70, 80 or whatever. But it's a learning lesson going in.
Yeah. And
it's going to be huge.
They're going to put all the players in to play because we've got Mahak and Dorothy coming. Playing at 11 today, and well done to Dorothea. 3 overs, 1 meter, 13 runs, and 3 wickets.
And if I pull up my Thailand ICC massive spreadsheet, you can see 3 for 13 versus Q8 on May 6th because both Yasmin Dazwani and Dorothea Chan broke their records and made me redo all my stats on my massive spreadsheet, which was annoying. I told you that on WhatsApp. But if that's the most annoying thing that happens to me, I'm very, very happy. If I have to keep updating the best bowling and highest score for the Hong Kong players throughout the tournament,
that's great.
I'm going to be very, very happy. Please do it, team. Speaking of the team, we've got a very special guest joining us now. Joining us from Thailand is the Cricket Hong Kong China women's captain, Natasha Miles. Thanks for joining us, Tash. Firstly, how is the team feeling going into the Asia World Cup qualifiers?
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me again on the podcast. The team are very excited about the Asia World Cup qualifiers. I think it's something we've been working towards the last 6 months, definitely. It's been a big goal of ours, and a lot of our training, prep, and tours has been geared towards getting us ready for this. We've had a few upsets in the past and come very close on many occasions, but I'm hoping, and I think the team and the management are all hoping that we can right a few wrongs this year.
Right, Tash. We know that the team has been to Sri Lanka for a prep tour, playing against Sri Lanka A, and also have some boys bowling in the net sections. How does that help the team to prepare for the Asia World Cup qualifiers?
Yeah, we've just been in Sri Lanka for about a week, just before we came to Thailand. And that was just a really incredible experience. I mean, going to cricket playing nations is always a lot of fun because there's so much cricket there and a lot of people willing to chip in and help us out and play games. You know, we played 2 games against Sri Lanka A, which were fantastic. I mean, obviously the results didn't go our way, but there was a huge amount of learning and a lot of positives we could definitely have taken away from them. I think, you know, we bowled and fielded incredibly well in both games, and that's something we can definitely take away into our upcoming tournament. We had a few training sessions now and had some of the local boys bowling at us, which was a real challenge because they're sort of a little bit pacier than what we normally face and very smart about how they go about their business. But it was really fun to do and such a great challenge. And I think all the girls sort of embraced it wholeheartedly and definitely learned a lot from it. The boys were always willing to sort of chat with us and, you know, give us a few tips and tell us how to face them when we couldn't. You know, the boys out there, obviously they love their cricket and they play all the time. And so, you know, they know exactly what they're doing on their home soil, as it were. So, you know, so when they're spinning it past us, you know, they're giving us tips on how we can sweep them and take them on. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, just being in a different country in a different environment is great for the girls to sort of see new things and experience different cricketers and come up against different teams.
With the interesting groupings the ICC has put together, Hong Kong ranked 4th meets Nepal ranked 3rd. Unless there's a massive upset, Group 3 will come down to the 2 games Hong Kong plays against Nepal. Renewing that rivalry from Uganda?
Yeah, I guess with the setup for this qualifiers being a little bit different than perhaps what we've experienced before, it will be a challenge and it will definitely renew some of the rivalries we have with Nepal. I mean, it's always a great competition when we play Nepal. So looking forward to having a kind of a round robin with with them in Bahrain and getting two goes at it to sort of hopefully come out on top. Yeah, it is very important that our games against Nepal, and it's important that we go out there, express ourselves, have some fun, and definitely make a statement against them. We know we've beaten them before in the past, and I think that's something we can take a lot of confidence from. So, you know, it was great that we went out to Uganda last month, 2 months ago now, and played those matches, and now we definitely have a lot of ideas on how we can go about the game and put the pressure back on them and come out on top, hopefully.
Well, the team also played like a quad series with UAE, Thailand and Kuwait before the qualifier. If Hong Kong finished top in the group stage, it's just likely that we play UAE and Thailand again in the second round. So will these games benefit us for having a better plan against them?
Yeah, so we just finished a quad series in Bangkok with UAE, Thailand and Kuwait. That was a lot of fun, a bit challenging. We have adjusted to the heat well, I think. You know, being out in Sri Lanka for a week before coming out here definitely got us a bit acclimated to the humidity, the heat and the intensity of playing in that kind of weather. It definitely gave us a lot of insight into what the teams are doing. I mean, we play them quite a lot generally in our calendar, so we're always sort of aware of what their plans are and how they go about their business, but sort of doing it close to the lead up to our qualifiers tournament will definitely stand us in good stead. You know, there's a few tweaks in both teams, and it's good to sort of just see what they've done with that and how we can find a way to, you know, put them on the back foot and just really sort of make our plans quite concrete in what we want to try and do.
Bangkok is always tough on the players physically with the heat, and the Weather Bureau is forecasting lots of rain throughout the tournament. How does the team approach the tournament like this? Anything different than the winter tournament here in Hong Kong where the team bested Nepal?
I think, you know, we don't change too much. Our training sort of goes about as usual. You know, obviously we're always tweaking our plans and just making sure, you know, everybody's in the swing of things. But I think, you know, as I said, we've been in Sri Lanka and that weather is quite similar to what we're facing here in Bangkok at the minute. So I think we're pretty acclimated to that and, you know, looking after ourselves, loads of water, getting loads of water on board and sort of, you know, keeping each other pepped and ready to go. I think there's not too much different that we would do other than just making sure we're really hydrated and resting well at the right times. But yeah, we beat them in the tournament in the winter, and you know we played them in Uganda recently and won one and lost one, both close games. But you know, pipped one of the games and came out on top. So I think you know there's a lot of confidence in that, and I think the girls are fired up and ready to go and looking forward to just going through the process of getting through those group stages and taking each day as it comes and making sure we do the right things on the day and you know we'll come out on top if we do that.
And this is a tournament that the team prepared for like 2 years, and with the coaching group change a few months before the tournament, does it affect the players? But like in fact, Jawed and Najib, both of them are so experienced with the Hong Kong players. Does that help?
I think despite the changes in the management group, I think, you know, there has been continuity in that with Najib had been a part of the group for a little while and he's known the players previously. And so I think there hasn't been too much of an effect from that. I think, you know, we're quite a resilient group and we're sort of good at cracking on with things and getting stuck in. So, you know, the last 6 months have been quite intense with our preparation and making sure that we're ready for this this big period coming up now. So I think, you know, we have such a wealth of experience in this team that, you know, not too much phases us a lot. So I don't think anyone is ill-prepared or anything. You know, we're definitely ready to head in this tournament. And, you know, we've had a great prep tour in Sri Lanka, great prep with this quad series you've just played, lots of learnings that come out of it, and a huge amount of positives we can definitely take into the tournament. So we're ready to, you know, put our skills to the test and really enjoy ourselves and express ourselves in the tournament.
And Natasha, thank you for your time joining us on the 8452 podcast. And we and the rest of Hong Kong wish you all the best for the tournament. And we apologize that we have Sam Bushi to commentate.
Hey!
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron, so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun to chat.
Thanks, Tash. Okay, let's have a look at the upcoming games that will happen for the ICC World Cup Qualifiers Asia Edition. The 9th of May, first game at AIT, which is the university ground, Nepal versus Hong Kong. I mean, straight into it, the biggest game. It's game two, Thailand versus Kuwait at TCG. We don't care about. It's Nepal versus Hong Kong, bang, in the first game. That's going to be massive.
Yeah, so in the afternoon, we've got UAE against Malaysia. At
yeah, that's not going to be as massive, but I am looking forward to seeing the Malaysia team play. They've got the young Australian player, Elsa Hunter, in that team. I'm looking forward to see what they can do against the powerhouse that is UAE. The next games, we'll just focus, I think, on the Hong Kong games. Everybody listening to the AFL52 podcast doesn't care about UAE versus Qatar. So Hong Kong plays again on May 12 versus Bahrain. Of course, it's a game. They have to win it. No ifs, buts, or whens about. This game has to be won. Bahrain needs to be removed from the tournament. Both Hong Kong and Nepal want to beat Bahrain, want to beat them big, especially if it comes down to net run rate.
Yeah. And then we, like, the three teams in the group, going to play a, like, double round robin. So Hong Kong going to play against Nepal again on the 13th in the morning.
Yeah. I want to point out on something on this. Hong Kong got screwed on this bit of scheduling. So we play Nepal on the 9th.
Yeah.
We play Bahrain on the 12th after the rest day, and then Nepal back up on the 13th. Nepal doesn't play a game. Nepal plays, Bahrain on the 10th. So they have the 11th off and the 12th off, whereas we've got back-to-back games at AIT. Harsh, but we're just going to have to warm up and get it done, because that both those Nepal games need to be won as well. Then Nepal plays Bahrain again on the 15th. Obviously, we'll pencil in Nepal for that one. Depending on where the table stands, big game on May 16, the final one.
And that's the final game for Hong Kong. In the group stage, we are playing against Bahrain in the morning at AIT again.
I don't leave AIT. I am stuck there from the 9th of May until the 16th. Every single game that's out there at AIT, I have to call, including all three games for Hong Kong. So I'll be right there. Watch it on ICC.tv. It's going to be live. It's not going to be able to go back and watch it later on sort of stuff. It's ICC TV. So you need to pencil in the times. 9:30 a.m., which I do believe is Thailand time, so that would be 10:30 a.m. here.
Yeah.
So 10:30 a.m. for the first game, Nepal versus Hong Kong on the 9th. The next game, 10:30 a.m. versus Bahrain on the 12th. And the final game, Hong Kong play lots of morning games. Again, Nepal, Hong Kong is on the 13th at 10:30. And then the last one, Bahrain on the 16th at 10:30 a.m. But no afternoon games. That's a bit mean as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we got lucky with the snake system where we got Nepal rather than Thailand.
Yeah.
And then we get punished with morning games and back-to-back games and Nepal getting all the breaks. But I reckon in women's associate cricket, the biggest rivalry these days is Hong Kong versus Nepal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like from going back to Uganda and Entebbe, they would win, we would win, we should have won, but we didn't win. It just goes back and forth, back and forth. We beat them when they came here, 2023.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful rivalry. And also, of course, if Nepal's involved, there's hundreds of thousands of people watching.
Oh, true.
So it's always good for commentary. So that's all coming up in the next few weeks. We'll keep you posted and we'll do a full wrap of it when we finish up the podcast back in the last week of May. But that's it for Sky Plaza Road.
And now it's time for Bushy's Birthday Bonanza.
Yes, it is birthday time, and because I'm going to be away working, we're going to run through some birthdays for the next 2 or 3 weeks, to be honest, Tammy. I'm going to start with my old mate, the left armour, Dan Pascoe from KCC Premier. Wasn't available for the final. He's overseas as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's in the deepest, darkest jungles of Peru, like Paddington Ooh. Bear. He's going to celebrate his 42nd birthday on May 14.
After that, on the 15th, we've got two birthdays. Roy Lambsdale.
Not quite the same age, though.
Well, yeah, not quite the same age, but same day. Like,
they can get together and celebrate the fact that they're 17 years apart.
So we've got Roy Lemson from KCC turning 45 or 15th. And then we've got Shahid Wasif from USLC turning 28.
Yep, it's going to be two big birthdays there. And rounding it out on the 21st, me old mate, the winning captain from KCC Premier this year for the T20, stepping in for Jamie Atkinson. Jay Davidson, the Namibian nightmare, turning 32 on the 21st. So they're the birthdays. Dan Pascoe, Roy Lamsam, Shahid Wasif and Jay Davidson. We wish you a very happy birthday from the 8 for 52 podcast. That brings to the end another episode of the 8 for 52 podcast, episode 29, season 2 in the books. Big one, Tammy.
Big one.
Firstly, because we're away for so far, I am away for so long. Mm-hmm. We're probably not going to be able to do a podcast for the before the Women's Premier League final, which is Hong Kong Cricket Club up against Craig and Gowan. Sunrises.
Yeah. And then Premier.
Yeah. At Mission Road on the 20th, now being told it's the 4th.
Yeah.
Even though yesterday, well, Sunday, when I was doing the Premier League, I said 25th because it's always on a Sunday. And then somebody told me after I was live that it's actually on a Saturday. Thank you very much.
It should be on a Saturday.
Yeah, nobody told me that. So anyway, I digress. Who's your tip?
HKCC. What's
the golden rule?
Never tips against Tammy.
I'm going with Craig and Gow.
Oh, again.
Again. I reckon this is going to be the one, the only one. I've lost every single tip against you when you've tipped your team in the women's, what doesn't matter what it was, T10, T20, the whole box and dice. Every time I tipped against you, I was wrong. But this is the one. That coach, I know that they've got a new coach, Zenden Verster, the man that made 53 off 14 for KCC Premier in the final. He's coaching them. He's apparently having a great time down there. Craig and Gauss, they're really happy. So I reckon they're going to get the job done.
We also got the cheat cook as a coach.
Yeah, but he's always been the coach. I mean, Sahal's army's just, you know, a bit weird. Not interested in that. Now there's going to be the Zenden army.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good game. I'm sure it's going to be broadcast. And I assume, since I'll be back in time, I'm broadcasting it. I haven't been told yet, but I assume I'm walking down to Mission Road on the 24th. That's going to be brilliant. So we've got our tips in for that. Natesh doesn't count because we don't worry about him. Thank you to Natasha Miles for joining us all the way from Thailand. That was big. How do you think the team's going to go? You know more about the team than me. And I'm commentating it.
Yeah, and, whoa, they're just going to be brave and go out, hit, bowl the ball, and win it.
So what are they? What do you think is their secret? Do they bowl first and try to restrict? Pretty flat tracks. We've seen what in that quadrangular, basically a bit of concrete. No turn really on offer. Though, I did hear that Mahesh from UAE was turning it sideways six stumps, so maybe it does turn. But those games were all at TCG.
Yeah, but
Hong Kong's games are at AIT, which I know nothing about the pitch. Never been there.
Me neither.
Yeah, maybe even Hong Kong China women's team's never been there. It's going to be exciting on the 9th then when we all turn up. So make sure you tune into that ICC TV. Just log on to your on the webpage, or there's the app on your phone, or you can put your app on the TV, watch it live. Like I'm saying, there's not going to be a replay of it. There's going to be highlight packages, of course, on ICTV. Yeah. But if you want to watch it live, you have to watch it live. There's no going backsies.
And again,
I apologize. Even Tammy said it. I apologize. You're going to have to put up with my voice again. But I am off, and I'm going to call all the Hong Kong China games, which means I'm on a plane. I'll be in Thailand before you be listening to this. That's exciting.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hold down the fort, make sure Hong Kong stays safe.
Yeah.
Get out to the Chaos Development League.
Yeah. Well, the Chaos Development League, not just it's a chaos league in terms of like the playing conditions, like only like it's a few runs for wider nobles.
Yeah.
And
so it's like sixes. I know they're playing tens, aren't they?
16.
How many overs?
16 overs. Four overs per pair. It's pair cricket.
Who came up with that number? That's just weird. But it is like sixes, which is wides and no balls are three runs. Which, like when I called the Sky Warriors sixes, it was always great because you could get a nine. You could have an overstep, smash for six, nine runs.
Yes, yes, you can.
So I hope there's a bit of that going on in the Chaos League. Who's coming up this weekend at least? Do you know?
Well,
there's 1,000 games. I checked on the app.
Yeah, because like, I think we've got like 5 games on each ground at PKVL because we like split it in half. And so we've got like 10 games in a day.
So using the reservoir ground at the same time, two games. Wow.
So I'm not.
Those pitches are quite close.
Yes.
So you have to watch out for a ball coming into the back
exactly.
of the head.
Exactly. Like, I mean, like.
This is fantastic.
I mean, like.
What
like,
a chaos league.
I mean, like, square, like,
not
umpiring.
Not even the Challenge League is that chaos.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been square, like, umpiring it and, like, just scared the ball just hit it over my head.
I'm assuming you're listening to this. Ball or what is the scream? Four, like golf four.
No. I mean, like, they are all new people, right? So they don't scream. They just,
So the warning is okay, that's fantastic.
But it's good to see like so many new players and youngster playing
the
game.
Have you seen any new talent that you think might make it out of development league? Is there a few in there that are?
I think most of the young players are doing a good job. Like, I think from India Cup, I've got, like, Kashfi and Sansi, and then all the amazing
India
girls.
India Club's always got the best.
Well they're still the young, the right? But they're doing good. And then one of the CCC girls hit, like, 3 boundaries last week.
When we come down to record on a Thursday, usually, we're recording on a Tuesday because I've got to get on that plane. But DGS girls train down here. Any of them playing in the development league?
Probably not in the development league.
They're just playing school league.
But they're playing school league, gotcha. Which I know. And then like
I'm just wondering if any of the school league kids have come across to join any other teams. Maybe not
at the moment, but I think they will soon play because they're training at KCC and KCC, please do something with the girls.
I've seen the DGS girls and they're really good. I'm getting trained by Usman Manj. So getting top shelf coaching. Massive episode. I think we should wrap it up, Tammy. It's a Tuesday. We should go home.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Join us in about 2 or 3 weeks' time, whenever I get back. That's it for the 8 for 52 podcast.
Tossing a coin to begin. The 8 for 52 theme song is The Coin Toss from the band The Duckworth Lewis Method. Find them on Apple iTunes and YouTube and download that song and all their other cricket-related music.
The 8 for 52 podcast is edited, produced and published by Matt Botfield and Aaron Bush for Trip Ahead Limited.
Copyright 2025. I think I'll go in for a bat. And that's that.